All right. Hey, it's Christmas. Let's open our Bibles and you'll see why. Luke chapter 2. We finished up chapter 1 last week. And I just want to say how brave you are to come out on a day like today. You know, they're using the B word. And for you to leave your house today, amazing. Oh, man. The people that are watching at home, they're going, he's saying bad things about us right now. No, I'm not. Seriously. I love you. But be careful. And I like what Justin said. If you need some help, let us know, because there are some young guys that love doing that stuff. John the Baptist, you know, I was thinking about John the Baptist, and, you know, he was this trailblazer, you know, he was preparing the way for Jesus, and I still think, you know, we don't have to look like John the Baptist. He was really eccentric, really, you know, picture him with a big long beard and just a crazy dress and everything, but you and I, you know, we kind of prepare the way for Jesus in people's lives around us. Our families, our friends, the people we work with. And John the Baptist was like that. And then Zechariah, we see that he had this song. And this song that Zechariah had, it was just full of scripture. But it was mainly about Jesus who was to come, who would save us, who we would serve. And then he gets to the part about John, his son. But, you know, if there's one word that we can look at in our message today and the passage we're looking at today and really the whole Bible, it's Jesus. You know, we used to ask the kids, you know, we ask them these spiritual questions. Well, you know, what would you say is this? And they would say God, Jesus, or Spirit to whatever question you ask, right? Well, you know, there's essentially some truth to that. You know, what are the problems, you know, that we have? And what is the answer? Well, Jesus is the answer. You say, well, that's so simplistic, that's not really true, but it is true. And that's what Jesus came here to do, to be for us. So, anyway, Zechariah, he's talking about, you know, his son John, and he cared for him. But John was just the trailblazer who would prepare the way for Jesus. And we need Jesus and all the things that he came. We're going to look at that today. So, Jesus, we usually look at this passage in, you know, Christmas time or whatever. But you know, it's February, but that's okay. We're pretty close. Jesus' birth, really, and the words that stuck out to me is Savior, Christ, Lord, and peace. Savior, Christ, Lord, and peace. We're going to look at those. So let's start in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So there's some history here, and Luke likes giving us history, and he speaks some very specific things. We could spend the whole morning talking about just the history found in these three verses. We're not going to do that. But Caesar Augustus, it says here, he issued this decree, and Caesar Augustus, he was the most powerful man on the earth at that particular time. He was the first emperor or leader that was called emperor. And so he made this decree to have this census, and everyone would go back to their own town. You see, this was a plan that God had, as the scriptures following show us. Caesar, you know, he had a lot of power on the earth, but he was really used by God to bring about what God had planned. Sometimes we see these leaders in the world, we say, hey, you know, they don't know what they're doing, you know, whatever, but God is really still in control. God is sovereign over all the earth, and all the leaders of the earth. So let's look at verses 4 and 5. So Joseph, he also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, who was expecting a child. So Joseph, because of this decree that Caesar Augustus made, they had to go back to where they came from. And now we don't do that now here in our country, in our situation, but at that time, that's what they needed to do. They, for the purposes of not just population census, but for taxation. So they would go back to Joseph and Mary were both from this area, Judea, to the town of Bethlehem. It was a three-day trip. She's pregnant, expecting a child at any time, and they had to go. It's about 80 miles. No trains, no planes, no automobiles, right? They just had, you know, animals and walking. That's all they had. So they would go back to this place called Bethlehem, the town of David. Does anybody know what the word Bethlehem means in English? The house of bread, right? The house of bread. Again, what's the one-word message that we have today? You've already forgotten it. Jesus, like how could you forget that? Jesus is the message, but Jesus, it says that Jesus is the bread of life. I got a bunch of scriptures because there's so many that tie in with all this. And the fact that Jesus was going to be born in the town of Bethlehem, that's prophetic, right? That comes out of the Old Testament. But look in the New Testament, John chapter 7. Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? The Scripture tells us that. Micah chapter 5 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Who is he talking about there? This is the, you know, hundreds of years before where the Son of God was proclaimed that he would be born in a town called Bethlehem. And look what we have here. Joseph and Mary go back to the town of Bethlehem. It's really kind of a beautiful picture of the way God works things out in society and in our world. And then we apply that to ourselves in our own lives. Well, what is he working out in your life? Maybe you don't think he's at work at all, but strange things are happening and you don't understand it. But God is at work in your life. I can confidently say that because I know by experience God will work in our lives. Verse 6, it says this, "While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." You know, we've heard these verses and these words so many times, we kind of, you know, we don't really kind of catch how important it is what they're saying. There was no room in the hotel, let's say. So they had to basically go into the stable. Some think it might even have been in a cave. We have this picture, but are we really kind of understanding? This is the Son of God. This is Jesus now. He's coming and he's going to be born in this little town called Bethlehem. It wasn't a very large town at all. He was born there under circumstances that people in society thought were questionable. And after he was born, he was put into a feeding trough. This is the Son of God. Now, he's put into a feeding trough. That's what the manger is. It was where they would feed the animals. born in a barn, in a stable. I want you to turn with me. I didn't put this one on the screen. I wanted to read more. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2. That goes back a little bit here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. This all ties together with Christmas and the story that we're reading here in the Gospel of Luke about what Jesus actually did. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God." That's pretty clear. Who was Jesus? He was God. He wasn't just a man. He wasn't just a human being. He did take a human body, but he was actually God. So it says here in verse 6, "Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped," in other words, to hold on to. Verse 7, "But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." We sang about that today. What a beautiful name. The name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, being in very nature God, John chapter 1 says the Word was with God, and what? The Word was God, and then later on it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is what Paul is saying to us here in Philippians. He humbled himself. He made himself nothing, and therefore God exalted him, given in this name that is above every name, that every knee should bow, every tongue confess. Now, we certainly don't see that here in our world today where every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing, but there will come a time when that will happen. Absolutely. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." He humbled himself, he became poor, born in a barn, in a stable, laid in a feeding trough. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't quite understand that. We know the picture, and we see it in our minds. We see it at Christmas time. We see it on the Christmas cards and all this stuff. But do we really understand that God came down and humbled himself and took the form of this little infant baby in these demeaning, really, circumstances? Why? This is what Paul said, so that we might become rich. He did that for us. For you and for me. Back in Luke chapter 2 now, in verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. And they were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." The shepherds now are out in the fields and angels come, the glory of the Lord, and they were terrified. Can you imagine being there? They're just shepherds out in the field watching their sheep, and the angels come. Verse 10, "But the angel said to them," words we see over and over in the Bible, "do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. I think sometimes in this world, I look around and see what's happening in the world, and it's fearful. If you watch the news at all, and you go, "Wow, that just happened? That just happened in our state?" It's fearful. We don't live in a the world that we live in is not always safe. And radical things happen. But the Bible points us to put our eyes on Jesus Christ, and that's how we conquer fear. We can't walk around in fear all of our lives. Anyways, back to the story here. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." I want to play something for you. This will be familiar. You guys got this?
"Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about." "Lights, please." "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Don't you love that? That is my favorite of all time. Do not be afraid. It's Jesus. It's good news. And it's not about all the other stuff in this world. So he kind of lays out here in the Gospel of Luke a number of different things. And the first one I want to look at here is this idea of a Savior. A Savior. Sometimes we use that word, we just run over it, we say it quickly, but this is someone who will save us. Save us from what? He says he was going to be a Savior, the Savior of the world. This is what it says here. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." A Savior. Savior from Rome? They were under the domination of Rome. Savior from troubles? This is, you know, sometimes the idea that the Jewish people were looking for someone who would deliver them from the domination of Rome, but Jesus came for so much more than that, didn't he? He came to save us, you and me, from sin and from death. Matthew chapter 1 says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people," what? "From their sins." In fact, do you know that? Who can tell me what the name Jesus actually literally means? Do you know? It really, the name Jesus is like the Greek form of the word, of the name Joshua, right? And it literally means the Lord saves. Yahweh saves. Yahshua. The Lord saves. That's why, you know, it hurts, I think, to hear people using the name of Jesus as like a just an exclamation or a swear word or just in vain. Because you're talking about the Savior of the world here. John 3:17. We all know John 3:16, right? What about John 3:17? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? To save the world through him." Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's what he came to do, to save us. They said to the woman at the well, we no longer believe just because of what you said, but now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world, this Jesus. John the Apostle said, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The biggest problem, I think, between us and God is that sometimes we don't think we need saving. What do I need saving? I don't need to be saved. I got it all together. Look at me. It's when we finally come to realize that we're lost, that we're dead. We're dead in sin. And death is really the enemy. And we need to be saved from sin and death. Until we get to that place, and then we bow our knee like we read in Philippians, and we bow our knee to Jesus and confess him as Lord, we're lost. The second thing we find here is this word Messiah or Christ, and they're basically the same word, one in Hebrew, one in Greek, and who can tell me what the word Christ or Messiah means? It means anointed one. Okay, you're gonna know this. It means anointed one. Anointed for what? Anointed to do something, and we've already talked about it. He is anointed to come here for us to be the Savior of our lives, the Savior of the world. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, what? You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the anointed one, the one who came. John chapter 11, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are what? The Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. The Messiah who was to come into the world. Now, as New Testament believers, we believe and we understand that Jesus is the Messiah who is to come. The Jews are still waiting for Messiah to come. They didn't recognize his coming as Messiah. But they were waiting. They're waiting for somebody to come to bring the answers to life. And for you and I as human beings, the answer to life is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who would come into the world, the Son of God. The next thing we see there is Lord. And this is a fascinating word, but you can't use that word without thinking about how much the word is used in the Old Testament, the Lord God. But Jesus now has that name as well. They called him Lord. And the definition of that is really someone who is over you, a ruler. But it also equates to the name God. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. We read it in Philippians that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus Christ, we saw how he humbled himself. He came to the earth, and now what for you and I to humble ourselves before him and call him Lord. That's what we all have done, most of us in this room. Maybe you have not done that yet. You have not acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have not humbled yourself before him and said, Jesus, I humbled myself before you, and I call you my Lord, my King, and my God. Back to Luke chapter 2, verse 13. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel. It's just like an incredible thing that happened here. And they were praising God and they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This was loud, you know. We say, "Oh, it was getting loud in here in church today." But can you imagine how loud it must have been there? The great company of the heavenly host, they appeared and they're praising God and giving glory to God in the highest. Incredible. This is a little song that's here. There in these first two chapters of Luke, there are like four songs. We've already looked at two of them. And this is what they call the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, this little verse of song here. But what stood out to me in this verse was this word peace. We see Jesus the Savior. We see He's the Messiah, the Christ. We see He is Lord. But what did He come to give us? He came to give us peace. Peace to men on whom His favor rests. I don't know about you, but I need peace. You know, during that period of time, they had, you know, what they called the Pax Romana, meaning the peace of Rome, right? Rome is in charge now. You can trust us, and we're bringing peace to the whole world. Or so they thought. Maybe there was a type of political peace that they brought. But David Guzik points out this, that there was a first century writer, his name was Epictetus, and he said this: while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace of heart, for which man yearns for more than ever. Has that changed today? You know, we have leaders, you know, we're gonna bring peace to the earth. We're going to do all these things. And I was thinking about it today. Has there ever been a time on the earth when there's been peace throughout the whole earth? There's war going on somewhere. It's horrific. And so if we're going to wait till the whole world is full of peace to have peace in our hearts, no, we have to get it from somewhere else. We have to get it from Jesus, who is called what? The Prince of Peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind. Peace of spirit is one of the things that He came here to give us. Isaiah chapter 52, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, sometimes in this life, even as believers, we face these times when it's just everything is completely shaken up. And I know what that feels like. But you know what? I know where to go. I need to go to God. I need to go to Jesus Christ and get the peace that I need. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the only true source of peace. And it starts in here. So let's finish our passage here. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them, what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. These shepherds, you know, they had this incredible you know, time with the angels came in this kind of choir for in the sky above them. They left and they said, hey, we need to go check this out. We need to see, you know, about what we've been told. Is it really true? They could have just stayed out there in the fields, but no, they said, you know what, if it's really true about this, we need to go check it out. We need to find out. They had this urgency, we've been told. I wonder if that's true about you and me sometimes, too. You know, when I heard about Jesus, you know, I was in a church and they were talking about this guy Jesus, and they were saying things, and basically what I said to God, I said, if you really are who they say you are, then I will, you know, I want you to prove yourself to me. Now, looking back, that's pretty foolish. You know, I'm telling God he has to prove himself to me. But you know what? That's what these people were all saying, that Jesus was the Son of God, that he could say, that he could change my life. And so I wanted to find out, well, if it's true, then let's see it. And you know what? God didn't squish me or anything. He did. He came into my heart. He came into my life. He showed me who he was. And sometimes we need to say, you know, God, if this is really true, well, you know, I need you right now. I need you here. There was an urgency in the lives of these shepherds, really, and they found Jesus there. And then they went out telling other people about Jesus. And people were amazed. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They were just as they had been told. You know, you hear someone talk about Jesus, you know what? If you go and find out, you'll find out it's just as the Bible says. He's real, and he will show himself to you. He will prove himself to you. He will be the Lord and Savior of your life if you and I will give him the opportunity and the chance to do that. Jesus Christ, Savior, Messiah, Lord, and peace, just as the Scripture tells us. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son from heaven to this little out-of-the-way town called Bethlehem to be born, to be laid in a feeding trough in a manger. But yet he came to be the Savior of the world, to be our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, and to give us peace, the peace we so desperately, desperately need. And Jesus, I know it wasn't easy for you, and we know about you in the garden and how difficult it was, you facing the cross. But you didn't turn back. You loved us, you showed us your love, and you died on that cross for our sins. To be our Savior, to be our Lord. Jesus, we humble ourselves before you today. We bow our hearts, we bow our knees, we confess you as Savior, as Lord. Where would I be without you? I would not be here today. I would probably have already been dead. But you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And I pray, Lord, that not only would we surrender our hearts to you, but we would be lights in this world of who you are, the light of the world, the one who brings peace, the one who brings hope, salvation, heaven. Jesus, we need you. We need you so much. We desperately need you. Thank you for your word that declares very clearly who you are. This is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Maybe today, if you need peace, you need Jesus' help in your life, take a moment right now to just call out to him. He's here. Where two or more gathered in his name, he's here with us. He hears your cry. He hears your heart. Jesus, hear the cries of your people's hearts, even here today, Lord, I pray. And show them who you are. Show them your glory and your honor, your power, and especially your peace today, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and sing together, shall we? We've got some special songs for you.